You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by Northside Bible Camp.
The Bible reading this week is going to be in Romans chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. What advantage then hath the Jew, or what profit is there of circumcision? Much every way, chiefly because unto them were committed the oracles of God. And Father God, we just want to ask that you for your blessing on the reading of this, your holy word. In Christ Jesus' name we pray, and for his sake, amen.
You know, that leaning on the everlasting arms. Chris had a Proverbs study this morning, chapter 3, verses 5 and 6, and we have them on our wall over here. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. Leaning on the everlasting arms, leaning on him. It's not always easy. It's not always our nature to believe, like the last song, that God will take care of you. No matter what circumstances, no matter what assails, no matter what fears, no matter what disappointments or heartaches in life that you encounter. If you are His child, and I trust everyone is, if you are His child, you've got nothing to worry about. Let's pray. Father, do thank you for this day and this time together. Lord, thank you that your purpose and your will for our life is that which we seek. Lord, may we seek it ever more energetically, energized from above by your Spirit to see and to know your Son in our life. Thank you, Father, as you watch over each of us individually, not collectively, but individually, and that we can trust in that, and that we have a responsibility too, Lord, to grow up and to become mature and to become pleasing in your sight. That's our responsibility. And Lord, may we not feign from it, may we embrace it, and may we bring into subjection, bring into captivity everything in us that rebels against it, so that we can come to rest in you day by day. We thank you, Father, for these graces in Christ Jesus' name. Amen. We've been studying now for several weeks this idea of all truth, and that God has given us truth for today, and that we need to pay attention to it, and particularly to that mail that He has written to us. Did you know that God has given to you private mail? It's true. God has given us an apostle. His name is Paul, and he says without any hesitation in his latter letters that he is now the apostle of the Gentiles. That's you and me. He's no longer in chains for the hope of Israel, an apostle to the Jew. But clearly he says that I am an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles. We know these letters as the prison epistles. And we know that in these prison epistles, God has given to us something special. Let's just go look at it real quick and we'll come back to Romans because I want to contrast this. In Colossians chapter 1, where the thrust of our study has been for the last 10 weeks. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 25. Paul makes it clear. And I say it again, he is the apostle for the Gentiles because what we're going to study today is going to tie into that. How important it is that we recognize what has been written to us. He says in verse 25, he says, in regard to the church, of which I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to complete or fill to the full the Word of God, even the mystery which has been hidden from ages and from generations. Notice, this mystery is something that has been hidden from ages and generations. There's no time period that you'll find it, and there's no people that you'll find know about it. That's what he says right there. Even the mystery which has been hidden from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to His saints. Not to the lost. The lost needs to know the love of God in His Son, the lost needs a Savior. You who know the Savior, God says, I have this new mystery for you. It's been hidden. It's been hidden from generations. It's been hidden from ages. But now it's made manifest to you. In verse 27, it gives us God's desire. He says, to whom? That's the saints. God desires. It says would. But I mean, isn't that the desire? When you want your child to do good, isn't it that you would he do good or she would do good? That's the same thing here. God says, I desire. It's my desire. It's a wish of mine to make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among who? Gentiles. Now, why does he separate us out? Why? Well, because now he's not dealing with Israel. He set Israel aside. But Israel before had a peculiar relationship with him. Oh, does he? And they're still the apple of his eye. But they've been chosen in Abraham since the overthrow or since the foundation of the world. We have a blessed place. We have been chosen in him from, no, but before the foundation of the world. Come back to Romans and look at how precious this position is. In chapter 3, speaking of advantages, I wouldn't think to the child of God that there would ever be a thought that one might have an advantage over another in that relationship, and should not, because there is neither Greek nor Jew, Scythian, bond nor free, but all are in Christ. There's no distinction. There's no advantage. But wait, what does the Scripture say? What advantage then has the Jew? Of what profit is there of circumcision? Much, every way. Chiefly because unto them were committed the oracles of God. See, Israel was God's conduit. Israel was God's way of blessing the nations. In fact, when God chose the first Israelite, the first Hebrew, Abraham, he said, in thee shall all nations of the earth be blessed. Genesis chapter 12, verse 3. And what is it that God gave them that set them apart from all the other nations? The oracles. The oracles. The Word of God. The method, the means of salvation. Eternal life, to be right with Him. And let's look at those. Go back to Exodus. You know, these are divided up into three areas. God divides them up. In Exodus chapter 20, we have the Ten Commandments. In Exodus chapter 20, we have the Ten Commandments. And we'll see here quickly, we have the commandments, the judgments, and the ordinances. The commandments, the judgments, and the ordinances. The commandments deal with the relationship and the holiness of God. The judgments deal in the Hebrew sense of the relationships one with another Hebrew. The ordinances deal with the religious relationship that the Jew has with the Almighty God. In Exodus chapter 20, and God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, who brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. And you know the rest, the Ten Commandments. I'm mindful of the passing of President Reagan. And they played a speech of his before the national radio broadcasters in 1986. And he said, there have been 11 million laws written, and none of them have improved upon these 10. These 10 commandments. And these are the commandments. This is the relationship we're to have with God. This is the holiness of God established by Him and His Word. But look in chapter 21. Now these are the judgments which thou shalt set before them. If thou buy a Hebrew servant, 6 years he shall serve, and in the seventh he shall go out free from nothing. Free for nothing. So here is the relationship established between Hebrew and Hebrew, the judgments. And not only do we have the judgments and the commandments, but over in chapter, I'm going to say it's right there in 24, beginning with verse 9. Then went up Moses and Aaron and Nadab and Abihu, And 70 of the elders of Israel, and they saw the God of Israel, and they were under his feet, as it were, a paved work of a sapphire stone. You know, and it's before this. I know it's before this in my own reading. I remember it being before this, but I do not see that word. Oh, verse 3. Moses came, same chapter, 24. Remember, we had commandments, we had judgments, and now ordinances. And Moses came and told the people all the word of the Lord and all the ordinances. And all the people answered with one voice and said, all the words which the Lord said we will do. Now, that's the word judgments, isn't it? Yeah, that's still the word judgments. But you know, it's right there. It's right there in that same passage. Oh, verse 12. Lord said unto Moses, come up to me into the mount and be there, and I will give thee tables of stone and a law and commandments which I have written that thou mayest teach them. Well, bless my heart, I still don't find that word ordinances. They're there, and Derek is just letting you down today. See, you'll have to study it on your own. Well, count it. And when I find it, I'll tell it to you again, but count it to be truth that there are the commandments. There are the judgments and there are the ordinances. The ordinances deal with the religious relationship. The religious relationship. These are the oracles of God. Let me move on. I'm sorry. I will find it and I'll tell you about it. I may even find it in my mind here and I'll go, oh, there it is, and tell you about it then. But these are the oracles of God. The commandments, the judgments, relationship Hebrew to Hebrew, and the ordinances, the religious relationship that they have with God. This, the worship, the establishment of the worship, and how the house of God is set up. They were the only nation God set aside. That's the advantage the Jew had. And it's in that law that the Jew had profit. It's in that law that the Jew had an advantage over every other nation, all the nations in the world, because in that God taught the holiness of Him, the personal relationship that a person could have with Him. But a man or a woman who was not a Hebrew was apart from the law, had no part in it, was an outcast. And that's the advantage that they had, and that's what God gave them. And He gave them that over all the other nations. And in Deuteronomy chapter 4, we find out why. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 4. In verse 1, he says, now therefore hearken, O Israel, unto the statutes and unto the judgments which I teach you, to do them, that you may live and go in and possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers gives you. You shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall you diminish anything from it, that you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God which I command you. Verse 6, keep therefore and do them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of who? The nations. And the nations, they shall hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. See, that is the oracles of God. That is what set them apart. It is how God demonstrated who He was, why He was, and what He could do. Was through the nation Israel. It's the oracles of God that they rest upon. It's the oracles of God that they taught. And all mankind were to follow. And one day that will be true. One day there'll be a time when the kingdom is set up here on earth and all the nations will come unto it. Zechariah tells us there's a time when there'll be 10 people out of every nation that'll cling to the skirt of he who is a Jew, saying, we have heard that God is with you. Now, in that kingdom, there'll still be an advantage, because that kingdom will be set up upon the Word of God. That advantage will fall to the Jew, and in that kingdom, the Gentile will be nothing more than a servant. Doesn't sound right, does it? Doesn't seem right. But that's what God has established. That's what He said. And God's people don't have any clue about that today. God's people ignore that part of it They ignore the relationship that he's established and have tried to establish and appropriate a relationship that belongs to Abraham and his folks. What advantage then hath the Jew? None in respect to salvation, but everything in respect to the kingdom. Go over to Isaiah real quick and look at chapter, I'm going to say 49, verse 22. Isaiah 49:22. Thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lift up my hand to the nations and set up my standard to the peoples. And they will bring their sons, bring thy sons, that's Israel's sons, thy sons in their arms, and thy daughters shall be carried upon their shoulders, and kings shall be thy nursing fathers and their queens thy nursing mothers. They shall bow down to thee with their face toward the earth and lick up the dust of thy feet, and thou shalt know that I am the Lord. For they shall not be ashamed who wait for me. Make it more clear. Go over to chapter 61, verse 4. Now these are kingdom verses. Verse 4, and they shall build the old waste. They shall raise up the former desolations, and they shall repair the waste cities, the desolation of many generations. And the stranger, the foreigner, shall stand and feed your flock. That's your flock is Israel. It's not mine, nor is it yours. We are the ones, Gentiles, who are being referred to as the ones who feed the flock. We don't own the flock. And the sons of the stranger, the alien, shall be your plowmen and your vine dressers. But ye, that's Israel, shall be named the priest of the Lord, and shall call you, men shall call you the ministers of our God. You shall eat the riches of the nations, and in their glory shall you boast yourselves. Very important for us to see that and to realize it. The Jew has every advantage in this kingdom period. The Jew has every advantage in the old economy over the Gentile. Why? Well, chiefly, Paul writes, come back to Romans, chiefly in chapter 3, verse 2, chiefly because unto them were committed the oracles of God. God's not dealing with that today. God's not requiring us to obey the law. God's dealing in a way today that has nothing to do with law at all. It's completely grace. And it's all grace. It's grace in every facet of your life. Not just grace in your salvation. And then you have got to abide by the ordinances. It's not just grace in your salvation and you've got to abide by the commandments. There's not one thing that you can do to what God has already done. There's not one thing you can add. And all the churches today add things to it that confuse God's people. Yeah, I mean, they really are. You sit down and you talk to them. And they are like children when it comes to understanding the Word of God. The Hebrew wasn't any different. God had a claim on him. And he had no understanding of it. Look over in Hebrews chapter 5. Paul here before the end of the Acts period, and this is not our private mail, but it's written so that we might know and we might learn. In other words, it's for us, but it's not to us. God here writing to, what's the name of this book? Hebrews. God writing to the Hebrews, he says to them in verse 12, when the time came that you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again what? The first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of meat or solid food. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a what? A babe. This is a different word than a child. You know, we're all children of God, but you know, technon does grow and matures. This word babe is a different word. It's a word that means an infant. It means one who does not speak, cannot speak. And that's an infant. And God here is condemning the nation Israel, saying in verse 12, when the time came that you ought to be teachers, you're unskilled. You've forgotten the first principles. In fact, you need the principles to be taught to you again. Verse 14, solid food, meat, belongs to them that are full age, grown, mature. Even those who by reason of use, underline that word use, because that's so critical, have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. What a challenge it is for us, and many of us, like the Hebrews, need to go back and understand the first principles. To get those down. To understand 1 + 1 = 2. To understand God's purpose in life. You know what happens to a child, an infant? He gets tossed to and fro by and carried about by every wind of doctrine. Now you know where that is, don't you? Ephesians chapter 4. Go there and let's look at it real quickly. And so when you sit down and you try to talk to them about the promises to Abraham and the promise to the Gentiles, they scratch their head because they don't understand the Word of God. You try to talk to them about the things that occurred before the foundation of the world and the things that have occurred from the foundation of the world, and they scratch their head. You listen to them talk about a kingdom here on earth. Glory be! We're going to be set up in a kingdom, and we're going to serve with the King. And what they're going to be is servants in the kingdom, and they have no understanding of it. It's because they're tossed to and fro. And you see them, and you listen to them, and every time you talk to them, they've got some new wild idea about how things are. And it's not according to Scripture. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 14 says, that we henceforth be no more children. That's that same word we saw in Hebrews. That's the infant. That's the one that's so young that they can't even speak a word. Not a child of God. From the word technon. In a sense, we're all children. But in a sense, we all begin as infants. But we're to grow up. See, that's what verse 13 said. Till we all come into the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God into a perfect man. That's a mature man. Unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. That tossed to and fro, that's the waves out on the ocean. That's the troubled waters. You know, I watched a show last night. Not very many war stories are in Korea, but this was on a Korea. About Korea. And they showed these fighter pilots bombing Korea and going back to their ship. And on one mission, this guy got shot, flak got him, and it blew a hole in the side of his canopy that's on his jet and blinded him. And when they came back from the formation, there were only seven. Where's old number eight? And they finally went out and found him. And boy, he was just holding that stick back. He didn't want to go down, right? He was holding that stick back, so his plane was going up. And they found him, and one guy got next to him and found out he was blind. And he talked him and talked him and talked him all the way back to the aircraft carrier and then talked him into sitting his plane right down on that aircraft carrier. I don't know if it's a true story. But, you know, in that moment, from the time that he was blinded until the time he felt those arms reach in and pull him out of that cockpit, it was a tossing and turning sea in his life. But during those moments, he relied and he trusted on the word that he heard over those headphones. Not paying attention to his own understanding, which was, pull the stick back, don't want to go down, baby. But even that was dangerous because there comes a point where you either run out of space, or you run out of gas. Tossed to and fro. James talks about this. Go over to James. Hold your hand there because we're going to come right back to Ephesians. But I want to see this word, how it's used over in James chapter 1. James says in verse 5, chapter 1, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. Don't ask of yourself because you don't have a clue. Don't ask of other people unless they direct you to the Word. Don't try to find it in a horoscope. Don't try to find it in a movie. And don't try to find it in a country and Western song. But how guilty are we? How guilty are we of inundating ourselves every day, every week, every month with the things of the world? And so when we have issues in life, when we have spiritual problems, we try to answer them with worldly answers instead of spiritual answers. And I can understand that because, you know, when I try to use my understanding, when I lean on that, I begin to think I'm in control, and I begin to think that my self-preservation is more important than what other people are thinking. And guess what I'm doing? I am stifling the very essence of what is going to get me through this situation or this issue, and that is faith in God. Leaning not on my own understanding, but trusting in Him. That's the key. James says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But there's a caveat. You know, give me, give me, give me. That's what I want. That's why I got saved. I profess. Now I want to possess. What a distortion of the truth. Look, the caveat begins in verse 6. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and what? Tossed. You ever been out on the sea when it was tossing you? I've told you that story. I'm not going to tell you again, but not a very good result. It's not a great place to be. Verse 7, for let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. Who? The one who wavereth. The one who, I don't know about that. Yeah, that's kind of, that's iffy. You know, if I just sit back and wait on the Lord, I'm kind of not in charge. And, of course, I've got my self-interest, my best interest, in mind. Does the one who created you, the one who knew you in the womb, who formed you, who made you who you are, does he not know you and care about you? Verse 8 says, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. That's that word we looked at last week, unstable. That's like that one star that sits out there. And you can't guide yourself by that star because it moves all over the place. But you put that star in a constellation with a bunch of other stars, and when they move, they all move together. That's stable. That's stability. There's no perplexity about it. It's constant. And when you're tossed to and fro, come back to Ephesians, and when you're carried about by every wind of doctrine, there's a lot of instability. And I don't like it. Neither do you. Sometimes it makes me cranky. There's a lot of perplexity. I moan and I groan and I get anxious and I fret. And guess what I have? I have stress. And God doesn't intend that. He says that we're henceforth no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. The devil has his method. That's the wind of doctrine. The devil has his way. As sure as God has his purpose for the ages and the pleroma, and we've studied that. As sure as God has it, and it will be established, the devil is every day fighting against him with this wind of doctrine. And he does it by the sleight of men. That sleight, that word sleight is a cube. It's like dice. Any of you ever drawn a cube? You draw the two boxes, one sit kind of partially inside the other, and then draw a couple of connecting lines. And if you look at it, you can see it. You can see the cube. You can see a three-dimensional figure on a two-dimensional surface. Okay? One thing you can't see is what's back there. What's in the back? You can't see what's behind it. That's the sleight of men. But, and as much as men are the ones who may throw the dice and who may cheat, it is of the devil's device that they do it because it's his wind and it's his doctrine that they're caught up in. the sleight of men and the cunning craftiness. The cunning craftiness by which they lie in wait to deceive. That craftiness. You know, that's the subtleness. Eve was beguiled by the subtleness. You know, the first time this word craftiness is used is over in Luke. Let's go look at it. You'll like this. This is a great story about our Lord. Luke chapter 20. And I guess I'm going into this because we are supposed to grow up, but we can't grow up in the Word of God if we don't understand the Word of God. And particularly when He says, like, is it still here? Right here on the front of the podium? Study. Study to show thyself a workman. Approved of God, a workman who rightly divides the word of truth. That's why I'm going into this, because in a minute you're going to see that the whole battleground is in the mind, and we have to bring every one of those thoughts in our mind captivity under Christ. Luke chapter 20. They just tried to catch him. They tried to catch him about John the Baptist in the first part of this chapter. By whose authority was it? And they said, well, we don't know whose authority it is. Verse 7, they answered that they could not tell him by whose authority John the Baptist came. So he caught them. And they were trying to catch him. He caught them. Well, then he has a parable. But then in verse 19, he says, or the text reads, and the chief priests and the scribes the same hour sought to lay hands on him, but they feared the people, for they perceived that he had spoken this parable against them. The parable of the vineyard owner whose son was killed. Verse 20, they watched him, and they sent forth spies who should feign themselves just men, that they might take hold of his words, that so they might deliver him unto the power and authority of the governor. And so they asked him, then they said, Master, we know that thou sayest and teachest rightly, neither acceptest thou the person of any, but teachest the way of God truly. Now here comes the bait. That's the hook. See, he just threw out the hook, but here's the bait on the end of the hook. Verse 21:2. Is it lawful for us to give tribute unto Caesar or not? It's a yes or no question. Politician would find a way not to say. And they knew they had him, because if he said yes, how could he be the chosen one, the leader of Israel? And how could he be Messiah if he said give allegiance to a pagan king? And if he said no, they had him. Because then they'd just go to the governor and they'd say, he's not paying his taxes. He's not giving you tribute. And that's, I mean, we see that in the last part of verse 20. See, they thought he'd say no. That's what they thought. And then they would turn him over to the authority of the governor. But look at verse 23. He perceived their what? Craftiness. You cannot perceive the craftiness of the devil apart from the Lord Jesus Christ. You can't understand. In him are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Apart from him and knowing him and letting him influence you and embody you in all that you do, you can't be aware of the devices and the methods of the devil. You'll be led about by your own understanding. He perceived their craftiness and said unto them, why test ye me? You've been there. Did you have the insight to think, the devil's trying to trap me? I mean, really is. He's trying to get me to put my self-interest first instead of trusting in the Lord. He's trying to get me to run my life instead of trusting in the Lord. Verse 24, show me a coin. Whose image and inscription hath it? And they answered, Caesar's. And he said unto them, render therefore unto Caesar the things which are Caesar's, and unto God the things which are God. You see what the Pharisees and the scribes and the chief priests left out of their equation? They had not reckoned with God. They had come to a meeting of the minds amongst themselves. We got him now. He's got to say yes or no. He perceived their craftiness. Come on back to Ephesians. No more children. Not tossed about. Not carried about. We know the truth. The slight and the craftiness of men. We're to be aware. We're not to be ignorant of the devil's devices. We're to know his wiles. The wiles of the devil. That's what it says over there in chapter 6 of Ephesians. Verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. What is the might of the Lord? It's this book. It's this Word. What is it our Lord used when He was in the wilderness under the temptation? It is written. It is written. It is written. We have got to know what this book has to say. Or else we'll fall prey to that lion that roars and wanders about. Verse 11, same passage you're in. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the methods or the strategies. He's got strategies. He's cooked these things up, and we are like sheep going to the slaughter if we are not educated in the Word of God. I mean that. Well, so that's really the thrust of the new man. That's you and me. There is a new man. The old man, we're reckoning dead. Go back to chapter 4 of Ephesians, one page back. See verse 20? You have not so learned Christ. Learned Christ doesn't come from your experiences at the zoo. Doesn't come from your walks in the forest getting to commune with nature. Unless you're meditating upon what? The Word of God. Look at the rest of this. Verse 21. If so be that you've heard of Him and have been taught by Him, so as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning the former manner of life the old man which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your what? Your mind. How are you going to renew your mind apart from the Word of God? Paul says that it's finished. I finished the book. I wrote it. I completed it. Here it is. And this is what you're supposed to know. It's not anywhere else. Be renewed in the mind, verse 24. And that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. That's what God wants you to do. He doesn't want you to be ignorant of the corruption of the word of truth that comes from the devil and his henchmen. He doesn't want you to fall prey to the flattery. He doesn't want you to be tested by that temptation. He doesn't want you to be deceived by that type of deception. He wants you to know immediately that you are in a fearful place. Go to the Word. Trust in the Word. Lean upon the Word. God, that's where He takes care of you. He takes that stress and that anxiousness and that worry and that depression and that disappointment. Yeah, everybody here had been disappointed. Anybody not been disappointed? Leave your hand down. Oh, no, put your hand up. Everybody's disappointed one time or another. How many have let your disappointment go a step further? Wrong. Shouldn't have done it. Shouldn't have done it. Okay, Colossians. Let me wrap this up real quick. Go back to Colossians. Verse 27, to you and to me, God desires to make known the riches of the glory of this mystery. This is something that was hidden in God, never revealed until the Apostle Paul in the prison epistles revealed it to us today. The things that God has for us today in this mystery belong to us. Because look what he says, this mystery among the Gentiles. Where were the oracles of God? Among the Jew. Where was the salvation of God? John chapter 4, salvation is out of the Jew. Salvation today has been given to the Gentiles, Acts 28, verse 31. Things have changed. And not only does he want us to know about this mystery, which is among us, but he tells us what it is. It is Christ. Now it says in you. That's not the right word. It shouldn't be in. It's just like the same word among. It's a preposition in. but when it's used in front of a plural, it's among. And so it's not Christ in you. Now, that's a wonderful thought. And there is the indwelling of Christ in us. And we need to know that. And we need to understand it, because there's two types of indwelling that we deal with, the old man and the new man. There's the indwelling of sin and its corruption in this flesh. And one of these days, Paul says, and I say it with him, I'll be delivered from this body of death. And sin will have its perfect work on it, but not on me and not on you, the new man. That's redeemed. God's done His work. It's not reformed. It's brand new. It's that which is sensitive to Him when He woos you through His Spirit. See, this is that which we need to know and proclaim today. See, this, he goes on to say, is the hope of glory. See, a part of this is the fact that what God has done for us is something that wasn't done in Abraham when God gave all the promises to him. Oh, that's glorious. And one of these days, God will come back and set up His kingdom on earth. But God hadn't called us to this kingdom on earth. He's called us to where? To the heavenlies above. And see, that was something that wasn't done in Adam. It was before Abraham. It was before Adam. It was before the foundation or the overthrow of the earth. That's the hope of glory. Look at Colossians chapter 3, verse 1. If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things that pertain to the kingdom. No, those things which are what? Above. Where what? Christ sits on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For you are dead and your life is hidden with Christ in God. So when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with Him. Long before those Thessalonian believers are raptured up to the air, He will appear in His glory. And when He appears in His glory, you will be manifested there with Him, because you have been raised with Him. You have been seated with Him in the heavenlies far above. There's so many other aspects of this. There's so many other pieces of this body of truth that God has for us that we could talk about today. But we don't have time. We're going to finish this, the next lesson, this study on all truth that God has given to us, with what our commission is and what our responsibility is. And it's got nothing to do with nickels and numbers. Let's pray. Father God, we do thank You for how exact Your Word is, how precious it is when it's to us, how enlightening it is when it's for us. We need to recognize the difference. We need to know, Father, what our hope is. We need to know it without being tossed to and fro, and this week having one and next week having another, but to know unwaveringly, with singleness of mind, what You have given and how You've blessed us with the inheritance in the heavenlies far above, and that we don't cling to the promises, plural, the promises of Abraham, but we cling to the promise in Christ of life eternal. We praise You for that, and I pray for each heart here, Lord, they be challenged to spend time in Your Word and to study it. Not to faint and not to feign, but to embrace it and to be bold about it. Thank You for these graces in Christ Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.